We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Fourth and final hour, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI, in what is going to be a jam-packed night for sports watching here in the city of Boston.
Huge night. Huge
Ironically, night. It's baseball that's the earlier start, the 6:30 start.
I know.
It's I guess weird. That's what they do for April home games at Yankee Stadium. Red Sox at Yankees. By the way, manager Alex Cora will be on with OMF at 2:50 this afternoon.
Okay, good.
We'll see what answers he might have.
I know. Do you think he references last year at all?
I hope
Does
not.
Does he do that?
Please don't.
What's the line on that?
And then you've got two 7 o'clock playoff games. Here at the TD Garden, you've got the Celtics hosting the Indiana Pacers. And then at 7 o'clock... in Toronto, you've got the Maple Leafs hosting the Bruins. That is game 4 of that series. Celtics have a 1-0 lead in their series. Bruins trail 2-1 in their series. We put out one of these quickie Twitter polls 3 hours ago.
Give me the results.
And the simple question was, what interests you most tonight?
All right.
We've had 1,173 votes so far.
Okay.
Bruins at Leafs is the leader at 75%. Pacers at Celtics is second at 14%. NFL schedule release is third at 8%.
Oh, my God.
Red Sox at Yankees brings up the rear at 3%.
So we already know what the Patriots' schedule is, yet more people would watch that than the Red Sox-Yankees. Red Sox-Yankees. Like, I know it's April.
That's what it says here so far.
But they've also been terrible so far. And do you think Nathan Eovaldi? Although Nathan Eovaldi is very good against the Yankees. That was one of the best parts of bringing him in last year.
Why you wanted him here, yeah.
He is dominant against the Yankees, although this Yankee lineup isn't exactly the normal Yankee lineup by any stretch. But yeah, they have just been so frustrating. And I think there'd be even more, or actually we know, there'd be more attention on them and their struggles if it wasn't for the Bruins and Celtics playing playoff games. Like, say it was a year where both teams were bad and missed the playoffs, or, you know, it was one of those years where the Celtics got in, but you knew they weren't going to advance very far. People would be all over the Red Sox. They do get a bit of a grace period for the next month, hopefully. Like, hopefully these teams play a long time. We'll see. But as soon as they're done, there's going to be a lot of angry people going back to watching all these Red Sox games.
Quick update on the Bruins situation. It appears, based on the optional morning skate today, that Marcus Johansson is in. He'll replace Carson Kuhlman. John Moore is back off of his injury. He'll replace Steven Kampfer. At least to start the game, Bruce Cassidy says he'll keep the top line together, but he said that could change quickly, but he plans on starting the game with Marchand, Bergeron, Pasternak as the top line.
Which I don't like. I don't like it. I know how good they've been in the past, and I know how good they were against the Maple Leafs last season in the playoffs. But this series, these three games, they have not looked the same. And I don't know why you wouldn't want to jumble it up a little bit. And it's not like you're sending all three guys to different lines. Like, no. I think it's just really all anybody's asking for is Pasternak down, keep Bergeron and Marchand together. Bring up whoever you want, whether it's Johansson coming back, whether it's Danton Heinen, I don't care. And then put Krejci with DeBrusk and Pasternak and see if those guys can get something going. Maybe you unlock Pasternak a little bit, because so far this series he has not helped them out.
So that's the situation for the Bruins playoff game tonight in Toronto. They trail 2-1. If they win tonight, obviously, telling you the obvious here, it's then a best 2 out of 3 and you got home ice advantage. So this is a crucial game for the Bruins tonight. Celtics game 2 at home against Indiana, with the very real possibility, I guess, they'll have to play this without Al Horford.
Yeah, he's sick, so he's questionable. Obviously, you knew all series you weren't going to have Marcus Smart.
Right.
And maybe no Al Horford. Although Indiana was so bad in that first game, I really thought this was going to be a tougher series. I still don't think, I'm not jumping on the, oh, it's going to be a sweep now. Like, I know we talked to Scal last week. He really wasn't giving the Pacers any credit. He would say, well, they don't have Victor Oladipo, so they're done. But they didn't have Victor Oladipo for the last 2 months of the season.
Exactly.
And they played all right.
And they figured out how to play around.
Exactly. So it wasn't like a new challenge that they had to face. But they were so bad, 8 points in a quarter. Like 8 freaking points in one quarter is unbelievable for an NBA team. And so, yeah, they don't look very good. Maybe the loss of Horford will help Indiana, but I feel like at home, the Celtics are going to be fine. They're not going to lose a home game to the Pacers. When they go into Indiana, that's where we may see just how good this team is. Like, are they one of these dominant teams that just puts them away? Or, you know, look around the league. The Warriors lost already. The Sixers lost. The Raptors lost. All against much inferior opponents than, I would say, even the Pacers.
And the Red Sox at Yankee Stadium tonight, I guess the dumpster fire that has been the start of this season, the 6-12 start for the Sox so far, and the minus 40 run differential.
That's insane.
I don't know what you look at and say, okay, things will get better. I'll be curious to see what Alex Cora says when he joins OMF today at 2:50. He said after last night's game that it was the best he's felt about Chris Sale. Chris Sale, when he was asked if, you know, do you agree with Alex that this has kind of turned things around? He said, I sure bleep and hope so.
Yeah, again, like the way he talks after games, it's easy to like Chris Sale. He's very accountable and all of that stuff. But at the same time, if we keep having to compliment him on how well he handles a loss, that just means he lost again. And so it's been 0-4. He had the one game where he didn't look himself, but he only allowed one run over 6, and unfortunately they didn't score any runs for him. But the ERA is 8.5. It was just over 2 in 27 starts a year ago. He had, you could count the number of stinkers on one hand last year, and even the year before. Now he already has like 3 of them. And so that has just been really, really frustrating. And I know, you know, he's not the problem for the 6-12 start necessarily, but every fifth day, you should have one of the best pitchers in baseball going. And when he's not, you can see how that affects the rest of the team.
We said going into last night's game that one of the things we were going to be looking at was that radar gun in the upper right-hand corner of the Nesson picture. And we did. And it was better.
Yeah, I mean, he threw 97.
He hit 97.
Yeah.
Now, I was listening to Sean McDonough and Joe on the radio call for a while.
Yeah.
And they claimed that there was about a mile-an-hour difference between the Nesson gun and the Yankee Stadium gun. Like if the Nesson gun said 97, the Yankee Stadium gun said 96. Now, I don't know how much difference you think that is,
right.
But Sean was saying that there's about a 1 mile an hour difference between the two. He was throwing the ball harder than he has all season long and had no idea where it was going half the time.
No, he didn't. But as you said, Alex Cora seemed to be somewhat positive about Chris Sale after the game.
You know, stuff-wise, that was his best one. Location-wise. It was fire. I mean, with Garner, LeMahieu, it was supposed to be a fastball up and in, and it was a fastball up and away. He hung that changeup to Frazier, but, you know, if we, something positive about it today, you know, stuff was there. Slider was better. I think, you know, he's getting closer to the guy that we know he can be.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he was throwing harder, if you want to say it, because he said the stuff was there. But the location wasn't. Isn't part of the stuff the location? I mean, maybe I'm wrong. I mean, maybe.
No, it's a huge part of it.
I would think
it's
so.
It's the most important part of it.
I think where
isn't
you're putting
necessarily
the ball.
How hard you're throwing it, right. But putting it exactly where you want to put it. And I saw there were a couple of times when Sandy Leon, who was called up from Pawtucket and was catching and all that stuff, like he was set up on the inside corner and Sale was missing the glove by 2 feet and you know, was hitting the outside corner. I mean, it was dramatic how bad his location was at times.
Yeah, and it's weird. So all of a sudden, he can up the fastball. So took him a few starts to get going. And maybe you say you don't really use him a ton in spring. So now the beginning of the season is like spring training, kind of similar to the Patriots in a way, where the first month of the season is like extended preseason. But so now you can unleash him a little bit. But now, so now he's throwing 97, but he doesn't have the accuracy. So I don't know. Is there any guarantee that next start he's going to be able to tie the two together? So Sale, obviously, again, just it's classic Sale in the post game, but he is not as optimistic as Alex Cora.
It sucks. Like I said, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I just flat out stink right now. I don't know what it is. I mean, when you're going good, it's good. When you're going bad, it's pretty bad. So, you know, hey, show up tomorrow, put on the shoes, and get back after it.
He sounds miserable.
Oh, man.
I mean, he sounds miserable.
I mean, he sounds like a guy wearing his heart on his sleeve, and he does.
He does.
And even when he's pitching great, if he has a subpar outing, he sounds depressed.
And I do like that better. Like, me, better than, you know, ah, shucks, what are you going to do? Or, hey, it's one game. Like that.
Or, I don't know, the ball felt pretty good when it left my hand.
Yeah, like that drives me nuts. And again, if you had to compare the two, like Clay Buchholz or David Price or some of the excuses that they would make drives you nuts. But at the same time, you're like, oh my God, this guy sounds miserable.
Like I said, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I flat out stink right now. I don't know what it is.
I mean, he kind of did sugarcoat it. But anyway. But yeah, I mean, he stinks right now. But, you know, you hope that he could figure it out. And is it any time a pitcher that's this good has a number of bad starts, isn't it always
long, yes,
an injury? Always. Always, always, always.
Well, I'll say
this.
Or is
he not good anymore?
I was going to say, if they're letting him go out there for four straight starts and he's injured, then somebody's head should roll. After all the money they just invested in this guy, if you're letting him go out there injured in April, then you're an idiot.
But what else could it be? Like, is he just all of a sudden not good? Because I feel like that happens. Every year, you might see a guy, you know, even if you're barely following these other teams around the league, and whoever their best pitcher is, say, like, you know, Aaron Nola or something, gets absolutely shelled. Like, 9 times out of 10, he's hurt. Like, very rarely, like, these guys just go out there, or certainly back-to-back starts. You know, maybe everybody has a stinker, wasn't their day, and they're gone.
Right.
But if they have a couple of games in a row, you're like, well, wait a minute. Like, this is a guy who normally has an ERA in the twos, and he's getting shelled, he's leaving the game early, and he's, you know, at least he had some strikeouts yesterday. So that was a little bit better of a sign, I guess. But all those things, you add them up together, and you're like, did he just fall off a cliff? Like, is he just Max Kellerman style, just fall off a cliff? Or is he not there? Like, is his shoulder, elbow, and everything, is it 100%?
Until last night, you had reason to be concerned because the pitch velocity was so much lower than you expect. The difference between fastball velocity and changeup or slider velocity wasn't as big as it should have been. That was until last night. Last night, you saw that again. Pitch speed, you know, the gap between the hard stuff and the slow stuff. But he just couldn't figure out where to put it.
No, he couldn't at all. And it wasn't is he not comfortable with Christian Vasquez thing? Because we saw the season debut of Sandy Leon, which shows you that the whole, it's still early thing, that's not an excuse anymore for the Red Sox. Like, they're not using that. Because if you're thinking, it's still early, then they wouldn't have made this move. They broke camp thinking that Swihart and Vasquez were their two best catchers. And they said, we're not bringing Sandy Leon in. So then 17 games into the year, you're off to a bad start, and you make a switch. You bring back a guy who you cut. Like, nobody claimed him, so he was still in your franchise or in your organization. And so they brought him up. So they're obviously starting to panic a little bit. That's what it looks like to me.
And listening to Dave Dombrowski when he addressed the media before the game last night, it seemed clear to me listening to him that Alex Cora wanted Sandy Leon on the roster from day one.
Yeah, because he said it wasn't unanimous.
Right.
And that's, and I didn't think.
And
it
he
could
said
be.
It's my call.
Yeah.
So, okay, it was my call to send him down, but it wasn't unanimous to send him down. Well, then who would be the guy that didn't want to send him down? You'd think it would be Alex Cora.
Well, in our conversations, I mean, we have had a split camp on it, sure. We have a split camp, which is, you know, we disagree on a lot of different things, but sure, a lot of people want a Sandy, sure. I mean, we as we told you all along, we like Sandy a lot. We know what his strengths are, which is handling a pitching staff. He brings a lot of intangibles to a club. The way he handles his staff, the comfort zone there in that regard. And so, you know, it's a decision we decide to make at this point. But again, I'm not saying that that's the sole factor that we struggle, but I think it'll help us.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not the
sole
factor.
I think Cora wanted Leon here.
Yeah, I think so too. And you know who
and
also
he got
did?
It now.
All of the pitchers. All the pitchers. You can call him a baby if you want. You could say, well, look at these guys. They should be able to throw to anybody. And yeah, you know what? You're probably right. But the fact is, all those guys like throwing to him. And the guys that took Leon's position on the team, they didn't exactly take that opportunity and run with it. Like, if you told me they cut Vasquez, I would have been like, all right, fine. They cut Swihart, I was like, fine. I know a lot of people are up in arms because, hey, Swihart used to be a top prospect back in the day. They didn't give him a chance. Like, I don't know. He had some chances, and he didn't do enough with it.
Quick update for OMF. I'm now being told Alex Cora will join those guys tomorrow.
Okay, there you go.
Not today at 2:50, but Brian Scalabrine will be in studio with them in the 3 o'clock hour.
Is that right, Scal? Good get. Getting Scal in there.
Rare appearance.
I like it.
WEI.
Pretty good.
Wiggy's going to be so pissed.
Wiggy's going to be mad. That should be Wiggy's spot.
Well, he'll say it should be Wiggy's spot.
Yeah.
To be honest, I think Wiggy, I can hear him down the hall. He's still here. He'll
Wiggy's still here?
Yeah, he's ready.
Just
he's,
in case. You might hear him at 2 as well.
Never know.
Oh, pretty good.
So Jermaine Wiggins will not be in with OMF this afternoon, we don't think, but Brian Scalabrine will be in the 3 o'clock hour.
Talk a little hoops at 3.
All right, let's get back to the calls with you at 617-779-7937. Rich is in North Providence. Hey, Rich.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, guys. This is Chris in Connecticut.
Oh,
hi, Chris.
I apologize.
That's all right.
Classic mix-up.
Make a quick comment, have a question, but before I did... Dallas, wanted to let you know I read your book on vacation. I enjoyed it a lot.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Great stories. My kids even picked up the book and found some humor in it. They're pretty young, so great job.
Thank you.
My comment, and before I get to a question, my comment is I really don't like Johansson back in the lineup, especially if it means at the expense of Backes. I don't think...
It won't be. Apparently, it'll be at the expense of Kuhlman.
Okay. It doesn't really change my view, to be honest. I just don't think Johansson has been a fit with us since he's come over. And
he's certainly more skilled than Carson Kuhlman, though.
I'll give you that. We'll see how it works out. But my question, which I'm really interested in and I'm hoping you could maybe provide some insight to, it seems like Mark Savard on Twitter has been absolutely begging the Bruins to get him involved. I don't know if you saw his timeline. He was looking to wave the flag.
Yeah.
Is there some disconnect where he's reaching out for public appeal and not just communicating with the Bruins? There's something going on.
I don't know the answer to that. I know that the Bruins have been they have scheduled Special Olympians as the flag banner captains in this first round. For game one, they had Johnny Busick with one of the Special Olympians. For game two, they had Rob Gronkowski with one. I have no idea what they have planned for Friday for game three.
Well, let's hope maybe he gets his turning in round two.
So, maybe. I don't think there's any disconnect.
No, we had Savard on last week, and he said, didn't they reach back out to him?
Yes.
And they said, hey, it's not going to work this time.
Yeah.
But if they keep playing, then maybe he will. So if they make the second round, wouldn't surprise me if you saw him.
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah. I do know he did tell me he's going to be here for Friday's game.
Oh, there you go.
But
I don't think
there's anything connected with that. I just think that he wants to be in Boston. See game five. He did tell me he'll be here for Friday's game.
There you go.
Jim's in Northampton. Hey, Jim.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Great.
Good. From the start, I wanted Sandy Leon as a catcher for Sale, Price, and Porcello. He should have been, in my opinion, on the roster from the start. It's documented the pitcher's ERA is so much better, including Price with Sandy Leon as a catcher. I think you could have staggered Sale, Price, and Porcello with Eovaldi and Erod, so you go back and forth with Vasquez. However, I don't think that Swihart should have been released or designated for assignment. He should be the 25th guy in the roster. I'll tell you why. I mean, for years, clubs used to carry 3 catchers, and think about it. We used to never have 13 pitchers out of the 25-man roster.
Have you seen how much they've had to use this bullpen?
I was going
to
say, the starters only go 5 innings.
I know, but the problem is when you only have 2 catchers, and say it's now the starter's gone, it's the 8th inning or 9th inning, and you want a pinch hit or pinch run for one of your slow catchers that also can't hit, you're afraid to, because if you bring in the second catcher and you don't have a third catcher on the roster, something happens, the game goes into extra innings, then you're using a position player. And Swihart was perfect for that role, be the 25th guy in the roster. He can catch for you. He can also do some other things. And I would say he would be more valuable as a 25th guy than a 13th pitcher.
I understand your argument, Jim, but I just think that the way this pitching staff has performed early on,
the
lack of innings the starters have been able to give you, if anything, you need all the relief help you can get.
Yeah.
You're calling up a guy from Pawtucket who pitched last night's game.
It's funny, because the overall idea of that, having a third catcher, I don't mind, especially because all your catchers can't hit.
Right.
So late in the game, you want a pinch hit for them. But then I say, who are you putting in? Right, because how deep is the bench? So, I mean, maybe on the rare day that Mookie Betts is off or J.D. Martinez is off or Benintendi is off, but when your A lineup is out there, who exactly are you putting in there to hit for them? I mean, maybe Pierce, I guess, but... Most teams around the league go with the 2 catchers for a reason.
We did update you earlier on the Robert Kraft case in Florida. CNN is now using it as breaking news. And they are saying that prosecutors intend to release the videos in the Robert Kraft case. Now, Daniel Wallach...
This is breaking.
There it is.
They said it. I didn't say it.
Yeah.
Daniel Wallach, who I follow on Twitter, who does a lot of this legal analysis, he said this is really probably not a... And I'm paraphrasing... Probably not a smart move by prosecutors. There's already been this case argued in front of a judge who has yet to issue a ruling. You're in effect doing an end around on this judge and saying, no, we're going to release him anyway because of the women's cases, not because of the... What you're doing is trying to do an end around against the judge who's still deliberating an argument you made a week ago.
Yeah.
And it's probably not going to help the prosecution at all because this judge is going to say, really? You're going to do what before I even make a ruling?
Yeah. Who knows what's going to happen with this? I mean, really...
Keith, quad box tonight.
It is going to be quad box. It is. I'll try to find the unpixelated version.
I don't think they're going to...
It'll be out.
...have an unpixelated version.
Is it worth watching it pixelated?
Yeah. Worth a shot.
You didn't think they were going to release it unpixelated, did you?
Not like, you know, like legally. But I think there'll be an unpixelated...
Somebody,
I think like Reddit will have an unpixelated version. Yeah, I know.
Well, we've got trending now and then right back to your calls. Sports Radio WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We did reach out to our buddy Michael McCann to get his thoughts on what the prosecutors are attempting to do in Florida. He's on vacation in Ireland with his wife. TJ Quinn just tweeted out, and of course, a great investigative reporter for ESPN. He's been all over this story. He said, Robert Kraft's attorneys just filed a motion to stop release of video evidence from the Orchids of Asia Day Spa. Prosecutors indicated they plan to release it ASAP, but as part of a case against the woman who ran the spa. Kraft's motion seeks to intervene and stop it. Not a surprise there. You knew
that. No, exactly. That was the next thing that was going to happen.
I think the prosecutor in this case, though, State Attorney Dave Ehrenberg, is really pushing it with the attorney, the judge who's already heard this case last week and has said, you know, I'm going to take it under advisement. He was the one who was going to take the video home for the weekend, remember?
Hasn't issued
his ruling yet. They've already argued this in front of a judge. He hasn't ruled on it yet. And it looks like what Dave Ehrenberg's trying to do is try to get around that judge. Let's get it out there.
Yeah, what's ultimately going to happen? Is this thing going to be released or not? Like, that's what I don't know. I go back and forth on this because it seems like one thing happens and you're like, all right, like Kraft's lawyers have a pretty good grasp on this and it's not going to get out. And then the next thing you know, you're like, well, actually, you know, maybe the other side. And with some of the laws in Florida, which obviously I'm not super familiar with, but it sounds like there's a chance that that stuff could be released. But every day it seems to be like another little detail here as they continue to fight.
So we'll continue to follow it.
Refreshing the internet.
The state attorney is trying to get it out there now. He says, oh, no, this is about the case against the women. This isn't about Robert Kraft. Yeah, right.
Same video. Right?
And Robert Kraft's attorneys have already filed with the courts to try to block the state attorney from doing it. 617-779-7937. Steve's on Long Island. Hey, Steve.
Hey, how's it going? Love the show. Just a quick question, well, more of a statement than a question. I mean, obviously with the Sox, it's pretty embarrassing right now. I know it's still early, but at what point, I mean, I'm on the bandwagon of thinking Chris Sale is not 100%. At what point, if he is not 100%, where do they turn for help? I mean, I know Dallas Keuchel is expensive, apparently, and would put them well over the luxury tax. But, I mean, there's got to be – I mean, they're not going anywhere without Chris Sale. So, what do you guys think?
I don't believe there's anything wrong with him physically. I mean, you just invested a crap ton of money on him.
Terrible.
You're not sticking him out there if you think that there's something wrong with his arm or
no,
something.
No, I don't think so. And I think Dallas Keuchel is not – it's not happening with the Red Sox, and you know, he mentioned how much money. Obviously, he's still sitting out there. He and Kimbrel just waiting for something. I don't know what it's going to be. Maybe a big time injury. Now, it's one thing if Sale or Price or somebody goes down with a season ending injury. Then, all right, now you really have to adjust your rotation. But right now, all five of these guys, as bad as four of them have been, they're all healthy, so you need them to figure it out. And they all, for the most part, I mean, maybe not Rodriguez as much, but for the most part, they have some sort of a track record. So you're like, all right, let's see if these guys can figure it out. and they're all getting paid, again, besides Rodriguez, a good amount of money. And so those are the guys that you're going to have pitching every fifth day.
So I understand, Jason, that Bart Scott is the latest to take his swipes and punches at Bill Belichick.
Yeah, Bart Scott is a big fan of Bill Belichick.
Not even a little, huh?
Yeah.
And he will take any time out of that show that he's on to, you know, tell a story about how Belichick ripped him. So this is kind of like a two-part story here.
Right. But
the first one's from an AFC Championship game where he felt snubbed by Belichick.
You know, we're on the sidelines, the AFC Championship. Me, Kyle, and Tony sitting there chopping it up because, you know, this is me and Tony's first AFC Championship. We not in the studio. We on set. It's cool. It's loud. It's the AFC Championship.
Yeah.
He walks up. Shakes Tony's hand, speaks to Tony, speaks to Bill. I'm literally standing. We almost shoulder to shoulder.
And you're like, all right, here, my turn.
No, he says absolutely nothing to me. Don't even look at me. And at that point, I'm like, look, bro, now you've been an ass. It's fine you've been an ass over there, but you came over to us. To
this is outside the lines.
Yeah, a group of my. And Tony kind of gave that look like, don't do it. I was about to say, look, you rude motherfucker. I was about to push it, but like, because that's just like
toughest guy in the business.
I love Bill Belichick more today than
toughest
I did yesterday.
Toughest guy in the world, huh? Bart Scott. Wait, so he feels bad because Bill didn't talk to him? Like, how embarrassing is that?
Bart Scott, who never passed up an opportunity to take a shot at the Patriots in his career.
Yeah, why does he need to talk to him?
He doesn't.
I don't really get it. So who are the two
Nothing
people that
me,
he's,
don't even look at me?
Who are the two other people he was talking about? That he was
Bill Cowher.
Yeah.
And Tony Dungy.
Coaches.
So coaches that he's coached against.
He's
had a lot of conversations with those guys.
Guess what, Bart? You're not that.
Yeah, you're not. He doesn't view you on that level, apparently.
Well, it's shocking.
Too bad.
He goes into.
He handled it well, though. He got little sour grapes, little sour apples.
He goes into another example of some of the things he's been doing in his post-career and why
Who,
Bill
Bart or Bill?
Bart.
Oh, Bart, okay.
Bill's well still into that career.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's never going to end.
No.
But anyway, so you're going around the teams doing financial literacy.
And the what? Patriots wouldn't let me come.
I'm sorry, he's doing what? Financial literacy? So he's teaching guys about, you know, how to invest their money and things?
But anyway, so you're going around the teams doing financial literacy.
And then what?
And the Patriots wouldn't let me come. I'm like, so I got information to help your team, and you won't even let... They're like, Bill will never let you in the building. Like, really? Like, where? We still,
I don't think that's a you thing, though.
I'm like, we still got beef?
Is Bart a...
good for Bill.
Is he a money expert or something? Like, is he... Maybe he is. Maybe did he go to school for this or something?
The team's doing financial literacy.
Yeah. Going around every team, and Bill won't let him in. Maybe they have their own guy. You ever think of that? Or maybe he doesn't like you. Too bad.
Bart, who has never passed up an opportunity
right.
to take a shot at the Patriots.
Yeah, and Bill remembers that.
At every single turn.
Bill remembers all that stuff.
Yes. Why the hell should he let you in the building?
And by the way, if Bart really wanted to talk to Bill, when he came up to Cowher and to Dungy, Bart could have said something to Bill. You ever do that when somebody like clearly doesn't want to say anything to you? You'd be like, oh, hey, Bill, how you doing? Like, you just, why not? Stick your hand out there. Make him look worse. Instead, I'm not going to say anything then, and then I'm going to wait till like much later on the radio, and I'm going to talk about it.
I looked. Bart Scott returned to Southern Illinois in 2005, finished his academic studies, graduated with a degree in economics.
There you go. Good. Good for him.
So
he's the guy that you want to talk
that's
to.
That's why. Well,
I could probably use his help. Like, how do I take nothing and turn it into something, Bart? What do I do?
If I've got nothing at all,
hypothetically, I have $0. What would I do with that, Bart, to turn that into $1 million?
Bart Scott also had this genius remark after Kraft, you know, when the early allegations.
Oh,
of Kraft.
I remember this.
You know, you talk about supporting human trafficking, you're hurting a whole group of people, right? And you're funding
because he supported
criminal behavior,
human trafficking. He also went on to say that they should take away their entire draft. That was the same guy that said that. He should take away every single draft pick. But that's fine, honestly. I like a good grudge. He hates Belichick. Belichick clearly hates him. That's fine. If Belichick even really remembers him, he may not. He's a good player, but he may not. He's got other fish to fry, I would say, than Bart Scott.
I got to give credit where credit is due. Former member of this program, friend of the show, Jerry Thornton. He says, we wrote about this on Barstool today. He said, prosecutors are trying to get the video released and trying to get the tug rule video released.
Come on.
I like that.
I know, but it wasn't even a tug.
Well, apparently it was.
I would change the name.
What'd you call it?
I'm not going to share that right now.
Spell it.
No, I don't know. I don't know what I would call it, but I would. But I think to be, it's a good name by Jerry. But I just think to make it more accurate, it would be something else.
You once called it a quote mouth massage.
Yeah, gate. Slap a gate on that, and there you go. That's what we're dealing with.
I like tug rule.
Well, let me see the video first, and then I'll have a.
That's good. That part's going to be pixelated.
Pixelated gate. Pixel gate. Pixels starring Adam Sandler.
There is a judge who is just going to go ham on the state attorney in Florida.
We'll see. Do you think the video gets out?
Yeah. Tonight? One way or the other. I don't know about tonight.
What if that happens tonight? So the Celtics play at 7, the Bruins play at 7. So like around 9 o'clock, both games are really going to be ramped up, sort of winding down. Third period, fourth quarter, whatever it is. Then all of a sudden, a Twitter link is going to pop up like, hey, if you want to watch this. All of a sudden, the ratings for Bruins and Celtics are going to go into the floor. Everybody's going to be watching Robert Kraft all night. That's what's going to happen. Of all nights.
Had I known this, the Patriots
can't give any of these teams a break.
Had I known this when I put out this quickie Twitter poll earlier today.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because you only have four options that you can list here. Yeah. I said, what interests you most tonight?
Oh, please.
I had Bruins at Leafs, Pacers at Celtics,
Red Sox
at Yankees. Yeah. I had NFL schedule release.
That was very cute of
could
you
have been
put
another
that on there.
Yeah. Kind of release that I
oh,
could have.
Oh, Dale, come on. It's a daytime show. What's the matter with you?
You just said mouth massage your minute ago.
Rossi said mouth massage.
Quoting you.
I would never say mouth massage. I said it again.
By the way, what interests you the most?
That would win 100%.
The current leader in the clubhouse is Bruins at Leafs at 75%.
Yeah, that makes the most sense.
Pacers Celtics 14%. NFL schedule release 8%.
Yeah, forget it. Over Red Sox
at Yankees 3%. Now, even given that I probably have more hockey fans as among my Twitter followers. If you had put out this exact same Twitter poll,
similar result.
I think that the numbers would be different, but I think the Bruins at least would probably still be the leader in the clubhouse.
It's far and away the most important. I would think, how can Red Sox Yankees not be more important than the schedule release, which we already know what the schedule is?
We've got it. We've given it to you.
Just so you can hear Andrew Siciliano and be like, week five, take it in. No thanks.
Well, we'll recap.
At least the other things are sporting events.
We'll recap the schedule for you, and we'll give you what else you got coming up in just a couple of minutes. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, just to recap, because we gave you the information earlier, we're eliminating perhaps one of the things that you felt you had to watch tonight. The NFL schedule release comes out at 8. Rich said early on in the program, we'll have it long before then. We had it before we got off the air.
Even sooner than I thought. Yeah.
Multiple sources here. Home games for the Patriots. Steelers, week 1, September 8th. Jets, September 22nd. Giants, October 10th, Thursday night football. I don't know why.
Don't know.
Cleveland Browns, October 27th, 4:25 game. Dallas Cowboys, November 24th. That will probably also be a 4:25 game. Kansas City Chiefs, December 8th. And then you close the season December 21st or 22nd. That's a little up in the air against the Buffalo Bills because remember they add Saturday football that weekend.
Right.
December 29th against the Dolphins. Those are the home games. Road games, you go to Miami September 15th. You go to Buffalo September 29th. Visit Washington October 6th. At the Jets October 21st. At Baltimore November 3rd. At the Eagles November 17th. At Houston December 1st. And at Cincinnati December 15th.
So Steelers Sunday night at home to open it up.
That opens it up. Pittsburgh Steelers here. Mike Tomlin will probably hear Scott Zolak in his head again.
Good chance.
Last time he was here for an opener, that's what happened. He was listening to the Patriots radio play-by-play.
Uh-huh.
All right, a couple of things that we did not get to during the
what else
today's
you got?
Program. I'll start with this one.
All right,
so we mentioned yesterday was a big day around here. It was
the biggest.
It was Bill Belichick's 67th birthday.
That's right.
Happy birthday, Bill.
Happy birthday.
It was also the 19th anniversary. 19 years ago yesterday, Bill Belichick and the Patriots spent a sixth-round pick, 199th overall, on a scrawny quarterback out of Michigan, who ended up being the greatest
player in the
history of the National Football League.
Pretty good.
So the Patriots yesterday, in commemoration of the big event, released the audio of the very first Tom Brady press conference as now a member of the New England Patriots.
Tommy, we're projected to go a little bit higher than this. Are you disappointed?
I don't think disappointed the word. I think the team that has drafted me, I'm just very comfortable with. And whether it be in the second round or the sixth round, I think everyone starts in the same level. And it's a great opportunity to head back to New England and play for the Patriots. It's certainly been a dream come true.
Tom, you're coming into a system where they have a quarterback everybody knows. What you feeling about backing up Drew Bledsoe?
You know, Drew Bledsoe is certainly one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. And it's going to be great to learn under him and compete for a job. Patriots. Certainly this is a great step for me. It's going to be a great challenge, but I think I'm ready for it. Actually, I know I'm ready for it.
He sure was.
He doesn't sound a lot different.
No, he really doesn't.
By the way, the first question that you heard asked was asked by the late Nick Cafardo.
Really? Wow.
The first voice you heard on that tape was Nick Cafardo asking the question.
You were projected to go a little bit higher than this. Are you disappointed?
Wow, that's incredible.
That was Nick, and Brady sounds
very similar.
Kind of the same after 19 years.
He sounds very similar. It is amazing because obviously he has used being drafted in the sixth round as such motivation.
Has he ever?
I'm sure he still would have been the best quarterback if he was drafted in the second, but you wonder how different that would have been. Like if he...
That gigantic chip on his shoulder.
Yeah, and like the Brady... What did they call that? Was it the Brady six or whatever, right? All the guys are drafted ahead of him and like that whole thing, and he knows all the guys where they went.
He has a Super Bowl title for each of the six quarterbacks who got drafted ahead of him.
And those guys don't have any. And it's just... But it's just... It was amazing what he used for motivation. And if he doesn't, then... Again, I'm sure he's still great, but you go into the league with a little bit different mentality.
Quick Nick Cafardo note. There was a New York restaurant, right?
Oh, it's Foley's. Foley's is a great place.
So they have a Nick Cafardo burger out, and there's a bunch of people from ESPN there today with the Red Sox being in town. So I thought that was a nice tribute to
him. It was very nice. Foley's is a great place. They've got autographed baseballs that cover an entire wall. Members of the media sign them, and they put them up. It's a great Boston bar. If you're going to New York, go to Foley's.
What else you got?
Well, if you're a betting man, Dale, and I know that you are, all three teams are
let
in action
ride,
tonight.
Baby.
All three squads, Bruins and Celtics, both have playoff games at 7. The Red Sox have a game against the Yankees at 6:35. If you were to bet on all three teams
and
to
I
win
would if I did bet
tonight, the old Boston parlay is what they would call it. Bruins win. Celtics just need to win in this scenario. They're 7.5-point favorites. So if you're feeling real good about them, go with that. It would up your odds. But for this one, all they need to do is win. Same with the Red Sox, which may be a problem.
Yeah.
Maybe the toughest one on the board. But if you put down 100 smackers, you would win $451.38. Is that worth it to you, Jason Rossi?
No.
The Red Sox really give you pause. Bruins and Celtics, I say both win tonight.
Those I feel really confident, even though it is Nathan Eovaldi.
Nathan Eovaldi's the Yankee killer. Yankee killer. Some say he's the Yankees kryptonite. I've heard that out there before.
I'll take the bet.
You're in on the Boston
parlay?
Let me
call see if Shime or Steve Yossi.
Now, Shime responded to our buddy Rich Keefe and suggested the better bet tonight might be a Bruins-Celtics-Yankees parlay.
But that's not a Boston parlay.
No, that doesn't.
That flies in the face of that very much.
For the Super Bowl, we said we couldn't bet against the Patriots.
Couldn't do it.
Because then you're sitting there rooting for the Patriots.
Yeah, that's like an all or nothing type of thing. Or I guess if you just wanted to do Boston playoff parlay, you wouldn't win as much. But if you just went Bruins Celtics, maybe you'd feel good about that.
Do we know the numbers? How much do I have to put down?
Oh, my goodness gracious.
I'll put down 1,000. Don't worry about it. I'll let you know how much I win tomorrow.
What am I doing? I'm dumping the Sox. So I'm going Bruins and Celtics money line. $100. Would only win 162.
I'm not sure that's worth it for you.
That is not worth it. You need the Red Sox to really...
Back to the parlay to make it work for you, Jason.
Yeah, you can't do it.
I'm in on that Boston parlay. I've talked myself into it.
All right.
Dale, would you do it?
Hell no, I don't gamble.
All right. How about if we all put in 33.3?
Oh, okay, then I'm in.
I'm back in.
So OMF is coming up next. Alex Cora will not be on with them today. schedule and early start at Yankee Stadium and all that, scheduled to be on tomorrow. But Ryan Scalabrine will be in studio with him, 3 o'clock hour, talk a little Celtics playoff basketball.
There you go.
I know there's O and there's M. I don't think there's an F.
Get the F out.
We got the F out. So,
guys, please.
All right.
Please.
It's coming up next. We got to get out of here. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Thank you for stopping by. Goodbye. 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 Thank you for stopping by.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.